So this morning as we come together, we're going to be continuing this message series entitled Love Is, learning all about the love of God and what it truly is and how it truly acts, and being challenged to love in that same way ourselves. The truth is we were created by God for love, with the capability of not only receiving love, but also expressing love. And the hard truth is that that expression can only happen in relationship, which means that by choosing to have a relationship with somebody, to express love toward them, to receive love from them, you're also opening yourself up for the ability to be hurt pretty deeply. And sometimes I'm amazed at the people who still love me, because I know I can be a prickly person sometimes, kind of hard to love, a little harsh sometimes when I'm supposed to be kind. You know, all of us probably have those ouch moments ourselves as we look back on our lives. The truth is there are all different types of relationships, and there's all different sorts and types and kinds of love. There is, however, a love that we are all supposed to possess and express. There's one kind of love, and that is the type of love that God not only expresses toward us, but it's the kind of love that he literally is. John said that God is love, and that's what he's talking about in this case. This distinct type of love that God has for us in the Greek language is known as the word agape. It's a sacrificial, unconditional kind of love, and that's what we're going to be focusing on throughout this series. Because it is that kind of love that we are commanded to express through every relationship, regardless of what type it is. But to be able to possess and express this unconditional love, we're going to be able to, what we're going to do through the series is to break it down into its separate parts, as Paul did when he taught it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He taught all about spiritual gifts, and he said it isn't really about possessing these gifts of the Spirit and using them that truly matters, but rather the motive behind using them and the reason that we use them. He teaches us that unless we use the gifts of the Spirit as an expression of God's love, then anything that we do is meaningless, useless, pointless. We're just wasting our time. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the first verse, Paul again teaches that if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries, possess all knowledge, if I have faith that can move the mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor, if I give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. And as we learned last week, love is patient. This week, we'll be learning about how love is kind. Maybe. I left my clicker on last week. Nate, can you move that forward, please? You'll have to be watching for my cues. Problem solved. Sorry, Mark. So, we'll be a little lively this morning. What are some acts of kindness? What are some kind things you can do? And the truth is, the list can go on and on and on and on. We serve a creative God, and there are countless creative ways that you can express the kindness of God toward other people. And I don't know who the original quote was. I remember from Willy Wonka, you know, so shines an act of kindness in a dark, dark world, right? In this ever-darkening world, the Bible actually teaches us that you will shine bright through these expressions of kindness. Simple acts of kindness, simple things you can do for somebody. And really boils down to thinking of them before yourself, right? Acts of kindness. Now, what is most interesting about all these different attributes of the love of God that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that every single word is a verb. I can tell it's going to be a challenge to keep attention here this morning. Yeah. Love is a verb. Now, in the English translations, no matter what translation of the Bible you read, when you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I read adjectives describing the love of God. It's patient, it's kind, right? You know? But in the Greek language, these are all actions. These are all actions. Patience is an action. It's something you do. Kindness is an action. It's something that you do. God's love, it's not an idea. It's not a concept. It's not a philosophy. God's love is an action. It is something you do. Now, the word translated here to kind is the Greek word Christoame. Christoame. It's all Greek to me. I don't know. But anyways. Now, bear with me. I don't usually go through this kind of thing, but I really felt it was important with kindness to go through this. Now, I don't know about you all, but myself, I love math and I love science. English, reading, grammar, it's not my strong suit. I don't know why God called me into pastoral ministry to preach and to learn all these, you know, language things, but that's all right. And in my weakness, he is strong. But you're going to get a grammar lesson this morning. We're going to take you back to what's about second grade now. It was like 10th grade for me. You know how that goes? They're learning a little early these days. Grammatically, this word kind, or in the Greek kleistoame, it is a verb. It's in the present tense, and it's using the middle voice. We're going to break those things down. And bear with me. I know it's boring, but there's a really, really important reason why I feel it's important to know this. So it's an action, and because it's in the present tense, it's continually going on. It's just always happening. It's always present, right? It's sort of like, you know, how God exists, right? Always was, always is, and always, you know, the one who was, is, and yet to come. Yeah, present tense, continuous. God is love. God is kind. Continuously ongoing. Now, the middle voice is a usage of a verb that's common in the Greek language, but it doesn't exist in the English language at all. That's what makes this so hard to translate and to understand. It's hard to find English words that can really describe what this truly means. Because middle voice, when it comes to the subject of a verb, right, is happening by the subject and to the subject. In the English language, you guys probably know this, that when you look at a subject to which the verb is happening, it's either active or passive, one or the other. It's either active or passive. There's no such thing as a middle voice. It just doesn't exist in the English language. For example, the passive voice, right? It would be, a box was moved by Steve, right? Box would be the subject, moved would be the verb. The box was being moved by Steve. That's the passive voice, or the passive voice. The active voice would be, Steve moved the box. The subject is no longer the box, the subject is now me. I'm actively moving a box. Active voice is, I'm doing the verb. Passive voice is, the verb is happening to the other thing. So you see the swap. Just two different ways of saying the same thing. Okay. Now in the Greek language, the middle voice that doesn't exist in the English language when it comes to verbs would basically be, like, the closest thing I could think of, the English would be, Steve moved. I'm both the actor of the verb and also the recipient of the action of the verb. I'm doing that to me. I'm moving. Steve moved. That's middle voice. It doesn't really exist in the English language, though. Do you understand? I know it's a grammar lesson. You don't have to get it, but it's cool. Because once you grasp this idea and this concept, then all of a sudden, this light goes off when you read everything else. For example, what is the second greatest commandment? The golden rule. Love others as you love yourself. The reason it had to be written that way in the English language is why? Because middle voice doesn't exist in the English language, and it just seems weird. It's like, kind yourself. Sounds like you're cursing somebody out. Just go kind yourself. Right? You know? It sounds vulgar. It doesn't sound nice. But that's literally what it means. When Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others as you love yourself, like, it's that middle voice, love yourself and love others. Like, you're loving others because you love yourself, and it's just what you are, and it's hard to wrap your mind around. Middle voice. You're both the actor and the recipient of the action. So just kind of keep that in mind and, I don't know, stew on it for a little bit and maybe come to grow. It was new for me. It's unlocked a lot of things, though, in translating once you understand that. Then you start to understand, like, how God exists and how we are to exist. So here's the reality, moving on from all of that. The reality is, generally speaking, we will treat other people the way we treat ourselves. Jesus was both kind of teaching a command, you have to do it, you need to love others the way that you love yourself, but he's also teaching a reality that you will love others the way that you love yourself. For example, Okay, I'm doing something and I screw up. I just go and blow it. I say I'll never do it again and yet I do it again. How do I treat myself? Do I get frustrated? Do I start stewing around and saying things like, you know what, you're never going to get this right. You're just always going to be a failure. What is wrong with you anyways? What is your problem? When are you going to learn? Or do you kind of laugh at yourself and say, seriously, Steve? Okay, let's do this better next time around, all right? The way that you treat yourself when you screw up, I can almost guarantee that's the way you're going to view other people when they screw up. Your spouse, your kids, your neighbor, your coworker. Do you get quickly irritated and angry with them? Are you patient with them? Kind toward them? Hoping that they're going to get it right next time around? Do you see the difference here? Love others as you love yourself. Generally speaking, you're going to do that. Now, which attitude is patient and kind? Which approach is loving toward people? What I love most is, what approach does God take with us? What approach does God take with us? He always hopes, he always trusts, he always perseveres, doesn't he? He's patient with you. He's kind towards you. Even in your sin. Even when you blow it. Even when you screw up. So give yourself a break. Kind yourself. Okay? Kind yourself. To love others, we must first learn how to love ourselves. Now, that's a dangerous phrase in our culture, because our culture is very self-loving. So I want to say it a little differently, so that we don't misinterpret it and kind of act like the world acts. I'm not teaching self-love and self-help books and look inside yourself. I don't know about y'all, but every time I look inside myself, I get depressed and upset, and it's not good. I get tired of looking inside myself. All I see is things that need to improve and change. A better way to phrase and to think about this is that in order to pour out God's love to other people, I first need to receive God's love. You see, in our culture, we're not very good at receiving things. We don't know how to receive a free gift with no strings attached. We don't know how to really receive the love of God so often, and that's so often why we're so unloving toward other people. It's just the truth. We have to learn how to allow God's love to transform our lives so that first and foremost, we change the way that we view ourselves, we change the way that we treat ourselves, we change the way our attitude about ourselves, the way we think about ourselves, the way that we view ourselves. We have to learn to think and to act and to treat ourselves the way that God treats us, to allow His love to first fill our lives before we can express it toward other people. Because love is kind, right? Love is kind. Now, if we allow this to happen, think about what would happen to our marriages, our families, our workplaces, our communities. I mean, every single place that we have influence over, every single relationship would be radically transformed if we just allowed the love of God to penetrate them and to saturate them. If we learned how to allow God's love to transform us so that we view ourselves and we view others the way that He does. If we did that, man, we'd have to open up these doors 24/7. I mean, everyone, how can you resist the love of God when it's truly being expressed? How can you resist that? Things would radically change because love is kind, right? Now, kind is not a description of love. Remember, it's a verb. It's not an attribute of love. Kind is an act of love. It's a verb. It's an action that takes place. And it's not simply an act that we choose to do. Kind is an act that we do because we are what we are. You are kind, therefore you're kind. You see, anybody can choose to be kind. Anybody can do an act of kindness. But are they kind? Now you see this middle voice starting to unfold and make sense, right? We act kindly because we are kind. That's really the end result and the end goal that we ought to live. Our end goal is to be like Jesus, right? To be transformed, to be more like Him, to be made into His image and into His likeness. And He is love. Therefore, He is patient and He is kind. Saying that love is kind, it's like saying this. It's like saying that water's wet, right? Water is wet, And that makes it wet because it is wet. Water can't help but to make things wet because wet is what it is. Do you see what I mean? This middle voice? Water makes things wet because it is wet, and wet is what it is, and wet is what it doesn't. It's just always wet. Everything that water comes in contact with, what does it do? It gets wet, right? You see, but to us, sometimes we go around, and we're not like water. Water doesn't say, I like you. You've been nice to me, so I'm going to get you wet. You're a jerk. I can't stand your stinking guts. But I like you. You're going to get wet, right? Does water do that? Does water show favoritism? No. Be like water. That is the love of God. It shows no favoritism. It reminds me of my one dog. My one dog, that guy, he just loves anybody and everybody. You can kick him across the floor and he'll come back, I love you, you know? He's just that typical kind of dog, like, you know? But it reminds me, that's what the love of God ought to be like, because that is the love of God. The love of God is kind because it is kind. It expresses kindness because it is kind. It can't help but express kindness because it's just always kind. That's what it is. That is why God, the person of Jesus, what is he? He's the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. That's why God is love. You get this middle voice thing now? He is, and therefore he does. That's a big difference. And a huge disconnect between Christianity and the person of Jesus. You can say you're a Christian, and you can do nice things for people, but not truly be nice. You can express the love of God, but not really be a Christian and be the love of God. Do you see what I mean? You can choose to be kind when you want to be kind and turn it off, like a faucet or like this thing. You see, this thing, it doesn't get me wet because I put a little stopper on it. I have control over it now, right? And that's what we like to do with the love of God. We love to control the love of God, thinking that we can. Now, we sing about how it's unstoppable, nothing can separate you. But boy, there's a complication that exists. And that is the fact that God created us with free will. We can stop it. God loves us. He pours out his love on us. And we're like, oop!
That's where it stops. Because I'm really upset with you right now, and I'm not going to love you. Forget about it.
Right? Isn't that what we do? We put a stop to it. The true love of God is just like, well, that's a bad example. Still a bad example. You always got to test these things first, right? There we go. You can't stop it. It's just constant. Constant, constant, never ending, never changing. Drip, 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 drip. And you know what I love about that? You never forget an encounter that you have with water, do you? Have you ever stepped outside in this warmer weather after the snow is, and all of a sudden, right down your neck, right down your back, oh, that feeling, right? You never forget it, do you? In the same way, when people encounter us, they should always encounter patience. They should always encounter kindness. Why? Because that's just who we are. It's just who we are. And so, Bethany, you can hand out some examples. Yeah. Just in the mood to throw stuff today. A little reminder, right? A little reminder to just always be kind, to always express the love of God, because that's who you are. Who here is loved by God? Yeah, I should see every hand go up. Shouts of praise. You are loved. You're loved. And what does God say? Okay, the way that I love you, now you go love other people that way. Right? Because Jesus said this. By that reality, by that fact, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In our culture today, let's face it. Christians are not known by their love. Christians are not known by their unstoppable, unconditional love, are they? Christians are primarily known for what they're against. Oh, you're against homosexual marriage. You're against abortion. You're against this. You won't do this. You won't buy Girl Scout cookies. You know, you won't do this. You won't do that. And I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong. But what challenges me is the reality that what is my voice speaking? Am I speaking out more what I'm against or more who I'm for? Am I speaking out more how awesome our God is, how great He is? Am I expressing more the love of God or my hate towards sin? What are you known more by? Being known by your hatred towards sin is not going to lead anyone to Jesus. Maybe in 1950 it did, before I ever was even thought of. I don't know, it apparently worked. Some of you were raised in that generation and came to know Jesus in that generation. You were just told how bad your sin was, and it made you want to love Jesus. I don't know how that ever worked. I don't see that being the way that God worked throughout the scriptures by any means. I mean, He calls out sin for what it is, but He doesn't lead people to Him. I look at women at the well incidents, a woman caught in adultery. You know, I take any single example in the New Testament and show me where Jesus just called out people's sin and led them to salvation. I can't find it. All that I can find is where Jesus came face to face with the person like ensnared by a sin or literally possessed by a demon, and He expressed love. And what did that expression of love do? It drove out the demons. It set people free. It made people weep and sorrowful for their sin. Why? Because of the love of God. Because of how great God's love was. That made me sorrowful for my sins. That made me convicted of my sins. When love was poured out. Love displaces hate, right? Isn't that Martin Luther King Jr. was famous for saying? Love's the only thing that can drive out hate. Calling out people's sin doesn't drive out sin, does it? But pouring out love toward the sinner, that makes that person want to just give that up. Because of the love of God, when you understand how much He loves you, right? Okay, so, too often we're like that squirt gun. We choose when to express love. We choose when to be kind. We choose when to be patient. And all these other things we're going to go into. I can't go into them because it's a secret. Nobody knows the rest of them, right? Anyways, okay. But we choose to bless those who bless us, and usually we curse those we disagree with. Oh, those Democrats, they're just a bunch of so-and-sos. Can you believe it? They actually go to church. We say things like this. Shame on us, but we say things like this. We stereotype people, right? And then we hate it when people stereotype Christians, you know? We're not all like that, and that's not what Jesus is like. Let's just express love. Let's just express love. It's all that Jesus called us to do. Love God, love others. Guess what? You fulfilled every law, every prophetic word. You fulfill it. It's done. It's fulfilled. Jesus, however, He taught us a difficult truth. And I am always challenged by this, and I always question Him on it. I'll just be honest. But He taught us this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Next one. But He said, "But to you who are listening, I say this. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." And He means like pray blessings and stuff. Like not pray that their brake pedal will seize up while they're traveling down 28, you know? Not those kind of prayers. That's called witchcraft, curses. We'll talk about that another time, okay? We don't want to pray those kind of prayers. If someone slaps you on one cheek, okay, who wants it, right? It's just a sermon illustration, right? Randy's like, do it. Last slap you'll ever make in your life. Jesus said this, turn the other cheek, right? He said, turn to them the other one also. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Bethany's like, please not again, Dad. says this. This is hard in our culture. He said, give to everyone who asks of you. Yeah. That's a hard one, isn't it? And as a church, we turn people away, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. It's messy. It's a truth, though. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Most of us are like, 911, yeah, someone just stole, you know, from me. But it's summed up as this in verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you, right? The golden rule. Then Jesus goes on and he explains himself. He said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? You want to earn some cha-ching in the eyes of God? You want to earn some favor? You want to be blessed? Anybody can do that. Come on. Anybody can love people who love you. Jesus said even sinners love those who love them. And he said, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to people from whom you expect a repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, and they expect to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them and expect to get nothing back. Then your reward will be great. Then you will be called the children of the Most High God because, here's the reminder, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be like Him. Literally, Jesus said. Now, that's in the Stephen, you know, John Cromer version. What Jesus literally said is, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Be perfect just as your Father is perfect. But just be like Him. Be like Him. That's a hard teaching. I've always struggled with it. I'm like, but Jesus, you formed a whip and flipped some tables, right? That doesn't seem very kind. And I'll go into that teaching another time, but God showed me something. The key is what that act reminded the disciples of. Dig into it. It's fun. It's good stuff. Okay, so God has given us self-control and power, right? We talk about Pentecostal churches, Deuteronomous power, right? Acts 1:8, Acts 2:4, right? We've been given power. Everyone's like, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, anyways, go on. What takes more strength? Think about that. What takes more power? To backhand the person that just slapped you in the face? No, that's a fleshly instant reaction. Anybody can do that. Everybody wants to do that. It takes strength to restrain yourself. I'll tell you what, it takes authority and it takes power to show that you're not in control of me. Go ahead. Here's the other. That does something to somebody. It messes with somebody's head, right? You have free will. You have authority. You have power. It takes strength and power and resolve to do that kind of thing. I'm not saying to stay in abuse. And there's a lot of teaching we can go into this, you know. But the point that Jesus is making is to treat people the way God treats you. How many times do you slap Him across the face? We read what the people did to Jesus. How many times do we do that to Him by our lives? Let's be honest. Paul taught that if you sin after you've been forgiven, it's like hanging Him up on the cross all over again. How many times do we do that? But instead, we can choose to take the high road. We can choose to walk in integrity. And Jesus said that is where the reward is. That is where the reward is, when you live as He lived. You see, because love is kind, right? It's kind to everyone in all circumstances and at all times. Love is kind, therefore it is always kind. It always expresses kindness. It just always is what it is. It can't help it. It can't stop. And I love that. The love of God is unstoppable. We think about that about me. Oh, the love of God is just unstoppable and it's reckless because why would it love somebody like me? We think about those things. But think about this. Nobody can stop you from loving them. It is unstoppable. Nobody can stop you from expressing kindness to them. They just can't. And it's fun. And it messes with people. Nobody can stop you. It's unstoppable, the love of God. You can't express kindness. Not only can nothing stop it, no legislation can even be drawn up against it. No law can be made against kindness. It just can't. It cannot happen. It's unstoppable. Paul wrote a letter to the Romans dealing with this, and you might be familiar with it, dealing with hypocrisy in the church, right? You ever deal with hypocrisy? Yeah. I have in my own life, so come on. Yeah, we've all been there and dealt with it. Believe it or not, some people in the church in Rome were condemning and judging people for doing the same thing they were doing. That doesn't happen in the church, does it? That's just a new thing, right, that just started happening in the last century, right? No, always existed. He said that those who practiced these self-seeking actions were storing up for themselves wrath, the wrath of God, on the day that Jesus chooses to pour it out. Because after all, hypocrisy, judgmental condemnation, those aren't very kind attitudes, are they? But you know, the church embraces them. The church has taught them for how long now? That's why so many people run away from the church. Judgmental condemnation, right? It's a shame. But in the midst of this teaching and warning, Paul poses this question, and I love it, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and we just sang about it earlier. He was talking to those people who were choosing those actions. He said, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" You see, God was still expressing kindness toward those hypocrites in the church. He was still expressing his kindness. And what happens to us? When we feel like we're walking in the kindness of God, we kind of feel like God's got our backs, right? What we're doing's right. As if though we're justified by our actions. As if though somehow we are right. And they absolutely are wrong. And I have the right to pour out my condemnation. You see how? But Paul's like, no. You're misunderstanding the patience that God is expressing towards you. You're misunderstanding the kindness that he's expressing towards you right now. He's doing that to lead you to repentance. Yes, and them, but you to repentance, right? That's what God's kindness is all about. It doesn't downplay our sin. It doesn't justify our sin. It doesn't encourage us to continue in it. God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance, which means to change your ways, to change the way you think about something. That's what repentance is all about. The kindness of God is intended to free us from that sin we're ensnared in. The kindness of God is intended to like fill our hearts so overflowing that it just drives that desire for sin right out of us. It's intended to displace that desire in us with a desire for him and a desire to love others. While we were yet enemies of God, while we were still rebellion against him, we encountered the kindness of Jesus. We encountered the kindness of God. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. He literally took on our shame and condemnation. He literally paid the penalty that we all owe. We all deserve what he took on. He didn't. He did nothing to deserve it. And it was that act of kindness that was designed to draw our hearts to repentance, to make us want to change. Because Jesus didn't do this, right? He didn't hang on the cross, calling out each and every one of those person's sins, and saying, "You gotta change, boy. You need to get your life straight," right? He didn't do that. He didn't say, hey, Stan, I know what you did last night, and you're sitting here condemning me? Come on! Jesus didn't do any of that, did he? What did he do? He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Kindness. Drawing us, leading us to repentance. Leading us to change. Why do we live differently? If that's how Jesus chose, to lead sinners to repentance, why would we choose any differently? Why would we think our ways would be better than his or more effective than his? People know what their sins are. You don't have to remind them of them. You don't have to remind me of all my downfalls. I know what they are full well. The enemy reminds me of them all the time. Let's stop speaking the voice of the enemy and agreeing with him, right? Let's start speaking prophetically the voice of God into people's lives, right? Lead them to repentance. Show them a better way. Show them the way out. Because I don't know if you've read it or not, but our God's faithful. Every time we're tempted to sin, he always makes a way out. Why don't we be the ones at that door being like, hey, it's over here, let's go. Come on, let's get out of this thing, right? Not how dare you be here again. What is wrong with you? Don't you know any better? Haven't you learned the last time, right? Thinking that's going to like shove them out the door. Doesn't work that way, does it? No. Let's be the voice of freedom. The voice of freedom in people's lives. This is the way out. Let's go. Let's do this together. I got your back, right? Encourage them. Why? Because that is kind. That's the love of God. That's kindness. I'm going to wrap it up here, but I love it. That word kindness, love is kind, that's the only time that word is ever used in the Bible, cover to cover. Well, I mean, in the New Testament, when it was written in Greek. The only time that word is used. But it's the root word for these same words. You've heard this one before, Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is... That's that same word. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Easy, kind. Luke 5:39. And Jesus, when he's teaching about, you know, you can't put new patch on an old pair, an old garment, and you can't put new wine in old wineskins, because he said that, because no one after drinking the old wine says that they want the new, for they say that the old is better. Easy, better. You've heard this one before, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Easy, better, good. Of course, be kind and compassionate to one another. Kind. These are all the same words. They're translated many different ways in the English language, in the Greek language. They're all the same. This is kindness. This is the same root word, kind. Peter taught us that like newborn babies, we should crave pure spiritual milk so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. Because now we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He's good. Same word for kind. It's that same root word. Easy, better, good. In the King James, gracious is another word that is used to express. Love is kind. Now here's the good part that I'm ending on. What happens to us? What is our reward when we choose to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who are enemies and hate us? What reward do we earn when we express that same kind of love? I love this. In the Psalms, God literally says what he will do to those who express that pure form of love. Because he loves me, says the Lord. That's the key to all of this. Because you love God. And how do we express our love for God? Loving others. I love God by loving others, right? If we do that, because we love God, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Apparently none of us need rescued right now. I need rescued from a couple things in my life. Sorry, I'm struggling right now, okay? Struggling with sickness, struggling with failure, struggling with feeling like quitting. I'm struggling with some things, and I need rescued. So I'm amen in that. God's going to rescue me from those things. He's going to protect us, right? Because he acknowledges my name. Acknowledge the name of Jesus. When you're feeling these ways, when you need rescued, when you need protection, if nothing else, cry out, Jesus, I need you. And he'll do it. It says he will call on me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in times of trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. And that's not just for men, by the way, women alike, mankind in general. Those are the things God wants to do for you. He will do these things. Why? Because you love him. If you choose to express the love of God, why would God not honor you? Why would God not lift you up? Why would God not deliver you? Why would God not show you the fullness of his salvation? Because why? You're representing him. When you choose to express God's love to other people, you're saying this is who Jesus is. And he's not going to let his name be defamed. He will defend his name. He will defend his honor. And he's going to do it by defending you. Because you're representing it. Think about that reality. But if you're out there judging and condemning everybody and speaking against them, I'm sorry, but you're on your own. You're not representing Jesus. It reminds me of the seven sons of Sceva, right? We're going out and, in the name of Jesus, you know, I command you to leave to those demons. And how'd those guys end up? Nobody remembers? They got bloodied. They got the snot beaten out of them. And they were thrown out of that house naked. Those demons are like, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, I don't know you. Hey, don't be out there on your own. Have the Lord as your defender and your rescuer and your salvation. And you do that just by loving people, being kind to people. So let's choose to no longer take the love of God for granted. Because we're quick to receive it. We ought to be just as quick to pour it out to other people. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. It takes a sacrifice. It costs you something. It opens you up to get hurt again. But doesn't God choose to love you the same way? Knowing full well you're going to go back on your word. You got good intentions, but you're going to blow it again. You're going to hurt him again. You're going to crucify him all over again. Yeah, he still chooses to love you. He gives you another chance. He gives you another day and another opportunity to try again. Let's love people that way. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Nothing compared to what Jesus lost and gave up for you, right? So let's show kindness. Because we're kind. Not because we can turn it on or off. And take, for example, this Proverbs 25, 21 to 22. If your enemy's hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. And don't just stop there. Look what happens. Not only do you receive a rich reward from Jesus, but it ticks them off to no end. By doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Yeah, win, 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 right? I get rewarded from Jesus, and I pour heaping coals on their head. It messes with them. Have fun with it. Have fun blessing your enemy. Our kids have tried it in school with bullies, and you know what? They could bring those same kids in here and show you how their lives changed because they were kind to that child. Because what have we learned through this process? Hurt people, hurt people. What can heal that hurt? The love of God poured out through kindness. Wow. Yeah! I mean, you can't lose. You win. So let's get out there. Let's show some kindness to people. Not only those who are kind to us. Not only those who desperately need it. Not just the you know, homeless person out on the street. Let's show kindness even to the person who hates your stinking guts. Show kindness toward them. And watch what the love of God is able to do. Amen. All right, so Jesus, we thank you for your great unfailing love toward us. We thank you that your love is patient. And we thank you for your loving kindness that never stops toward us. Help us to be like you, Jesus. Help us to never turn our kindness off. To always allow your love to pour through our lives like an open conduit. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the lives around us that are going to be transformed by your love being expressed through us in the form of kindness. In your name, amen.